is yours.
Thank you, Meishi. I'm also very happy to be here and see some familiar faces. I'm really sorry I couldn't be there in beautiful Berlin, but hopefully I should be able to make it to one of the next ones. So as Meishi pointed out, I'm here to talk a little bit about scaling Jitsi infrastructure, something that many of you are probably interested in because as soon as you'd like to do video conferencing for more than a small company of 50 or 60 employees, then you have to start thinking about auto-scaling. You have to start thinking about high availability. And there are numerous ways you could implement that. I'm aware of a few out there, so I'm going to describe the one that we have adopted here in Atlassian, and hopefully you guys would also find that convenient. So for those of you who don't know about Jitsi, it is basically an open source project. It is maintained primarily by Atlassian at this point, but also from a bunch of other contributors. It is something that's being used by a number of deployments out there. You guys are probably familiar with the Renator deployment. There's also Comcast, JoinMe, High Five, and really many, many others using the Jitsi Video Bridge open source router. So to put things in perspective, we're talking about video routing. So I believe that Alex Eleftheriades from Video was with you earlier today or yesterday, and he must have made a pretty compelling case for video routing. The work that they do is really very bleeding edge. So I'm not going to talk too much about that, but the main point is the way you used to do video conferencing was with an MCU. That is way too expensive. It also adds problems that are not addressable by simply blindly throwing resources at it. You can't just eliminate the video latency that gets added because you have an endpoint basically in the middle of your network. And really the most efficient way you can do video conferencing today is by routing packets and just doing that. And Alex must have mentioned that there are a bunch of ways you can optimize bandwidth usage, such as simulcast and lastn and many others. And again, I'm not going to talk about that. What I'm going to talk about is exactly how do you scale such a video router to an extent that would cover thousands of users. One thing that's worth pointing out is that a single box, a single router, and this is regardless of whether we're talking about Jitsi or video or the Hangouts bridge, they can all host multiple hundreds of users on a single virtual machine. This is inherent to basically the video routing topology. But still, you might want to scale beyond that, and also obviously you'd want to make sure that all your infrastructure supports high availability and failover. So a little peek into the architecture of how Jitsi works so that you better understand our scaling decisions. I promise you, I'm not going to bore you to death with details. So just bear with me for this early slide, and then it would all make much more sense. So basically, we have the video router, which is really where all the media packets come and enter and leave. This is really the part that switches between the switches packets between all the endpoints, and then we have a much lower load component, which is our signaling component. You see this as JCOFO here. This stands for Jitsi Conference Focus. This is really where a browser starts by connecting. It requests a conference. Then JCOFO would go and allocate a bunch of audio and video channels. It would initialize encryption. It would verify identities. Anything that is related to signaling would happen on JCOFO. It is basically, you can see it as the SIP proxy component of the network, though nothing here uses SIP. It's it's actually XMPP based. This is why you also see the Prosody server there. But that's irrelevant. This is really just the signaling part. So all these three machines that you see, I don't know if you see my mouse moving over the screen. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. So these three things, Nginx, which is the web server that we generally use, Prosody, the XMPP server that we use, and Gcofo, generally are installed by people on the same box. You don't have to do that to do it this way. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to use our signaling component. For example, High Five are using just the video bridge, and they develop their own signaling components. But when you use ours, many people do it that way. So you have these three machines on a single box, and then the video bridge living in a separate box. It is important to separate them because obviously the scaling requirements that you're going to have out of a video bridge, given that you're sending megabits of data per endpoint here, are going to be very different from the scaling requirements that you have in a signaling server where you have roughly kilobits per second per endpoint. So the load balancing of the media components is entirely handled by our signaling component. Now, this is important because the decisions of which video bridge you should pick are very specific to the application. It depends on, you can't just, let's say you have a web server and your typical load balancing that you would do on HTTP connections, you can't just decide, oh, you know what, I seem to have more participants on this server, so I'll put my conference on this other server because it has less participants. Well, it's not so simple because if you could have 10 participants in one server, but they can all be in different conferences, which would make for a very limited load. Like if it's all one-to-one conversations, the load is really always just one stream coming in, one stream coming out. Whereas if on another server you can have 7 or 8 participants, but if they're all in one conference and they're all receiving each other, that makes for a much higher load. So it is important for the load balancing decision of the media to be made by something that is aware of exactly how things work. And this thing is Gcofo. Okay, so it can handle any number of bridges that automatically register. It can detect, it runs health checks on them so to make sure that they're still there. If a bridge is dead, it would, if a bridge dies, it would take all the conferences there and move them to another healthy bridge. It does all the job that it needs to do with regard to load balancing. Now, let's move on here. As I said, you can have any number of bridges logged into a single signaling server, into a single Gcofo instance. This is what we, in our case, in our infrastructure, put in an Amazon Autoscale group. And obviously, guys could implement similar things with OpenStack or on your own in Amazon or in some, with some other cloud-like utilities. In our case, we put our bridges in a, we have autoscale groups around bridges, and they are based on bandwidth. Now, this is very important. We do not scale based on CPU. We do not scale based on connections. We're really based on bandwidth. We really scale on bandwidth because, as you might recall from our previous, from my previous presentation, the CPU that is being used by Jitsi Video Bridge is generally, well, it's generally well within bounds. Normally, the resource that you would run out of the first is going to always be the network bandwidth. So, based on bandwidth, we have these bridges here that are in an autoscale group that would add new ones if they go above a certain percentage of usage. For information, I don't know if anyone cares in that amount of detail, but we use C4 large instances on Amazon, and we basically try to spin new instances if we have an average load of around 500 megabits per server, just to make sure that we have enough. So, obviously, now you have the media part of this all figured out, and it is all fronted by a single signaling server. So I'm betting that most of you are now thinking, well, okay, your load balancing servers, your media routers, and they're all figured, they're all de-risked and everything, but you still have a single point of failure in the signaling server. So even if it's not a very loaded component, if it fails, well, you're in trouble. So in order to address that, we basically take this entire environment, we view it as a shard, and then multiply it and put it in several deployments. Now, you could obviously implement this in on a regional basis. The important thing to consider here is that this creates a new sort of problem for you. How are you going to make sure that new incoming participants will go to the right shard? And more specifically, you probably notice that these are entirely independent environments. You have basically one signaling server with a bunch of bridges that is completely unaware of the other deployments. What this means is that if Missy and I need to go in a conference, well, we better connect to the same shard. Otherwise, we'll all be in the same room, but we won't be able to hear and see each other because we'd simply be on different servers. So in order to handle the load balancing between different shards, we use HAProxy. Now, HAProxy has a bunch of very cool features that allows us to do exactly what we want. Specifically, it has URL-based hashing. Every request that comes out of the Jitsi product suite comes out with a room parameter, as you see here, that basically just carries the name of the conference room that you're going to. And HAProxy would always consistently hash that to the same string so that it would always end up on the same backend, which means that even if we go on different HAProxy instances, the hash of our URL would give us the same backend ID, and we would end up on the same infrastructure. Now, that might sound like a good start of a decision, but then you guys are probably thinking, what happens if one of the HAProxies, if one of the HAProxies fail, or if one of the auto scale group fails, the hard hashing isn't going to work anymore. Because anything that is supposed to go on the failed auto scale group, on the failed chart, well, we would have to be redirected somewhere else, and we have to make sure that all the HAProxy instances would make the same decision as to where to reroute a conference. This is why HAProxy is particularly handy here, because it has a second feature that allows you to store these decisions into stick tables. So you basically, whenever you first decide where to put a conference, you use the URL-based hashing. But then from then on, every new incoming connection for the same conference would not use the URL-based hashing, but it would simply look up in the table and see, is there any server already that's hosting my conference? And if so, it would be forwarded there. And obviously, there's HAProxy's cluster functionality, which means that the stick table would be synchronized across instances, so it wouldn't matter on which HAProxy instance you come in. You would always get the same mappings, and you would always go to the proper backend, regardless of whether it is a temporary one or the one that directly corresponds to the URL-based hashing. By the way, if at any point anyone wants to interrupt me, please feel free to do that. I'd be very happy if this becomes a discussion. So, another very cool feature that we get with this deployment is that it also allows you to handle upgrades. And by the way, I had an example here about exactly how the incoming connections work, and that basically shows that browsers may come in on any HAProxy instance and they go to the proper backend. If one of the HAProxy instances fail, calls are basically rerouted through another one. So, again, speaking about upgrades and rollbacks, the HAProxies give us this feature that basically allows us to put new shards into production and to mark the old ones as being drained. Again, this is an HA proxy out-of-the-box functionality. There's nothing, we didn't do anything for that except configure it. The very cool part about this is that when you, the way we used to do things a few years ago is to basically say, we'll have like a maintenance day on weekends, and that's where we'll do the upgrades. And if anyone happens to be having a conference during a weekend, well, tough luck. You'd have to restart your conference. This is no longer necessary because with HA proxy's drain mode, we can basically add new shards. We mark the old shards as being in drain mode, which means that now any participant that comes for an existing conference that is already hosted on an old shard will be routed to that same old shard. And then any new conference will be always created on the new, shards. This is very important as it basically allows all conferences to finish properly without adding new ones to the old shards, and all new conferences would naturally go to the new deployments. And then obviously you can also implement as part of your SLA a condition that says we do not guarantee the conferences will continue for more than 24 hours because if we are doing updates, well, we'll basically, in our case, for example, we would let the shards drain for 24 hours, and if there's something continuing for more than that, well, that's not covered by our SLA. So we just go and destroy it, and the people that are using it would simply have to start their conference again. Now, as part of this whole thing, it's obviously very important to have a decent amount of monitoring, and our monitoring is currently split between Amazon's Watchdog and Coldstats.io. We started with New Relic. We were pretty excited about it up front, but then it just turned out that the combination of Coldstats.io and Amazon Web Services was giving us everything. Amazon Web Services was easier for us to set up because all of our infrastructure was already hosted on AWS. Coldstats.io, obviously Amazon Web Services, the Watchdog is only helping us monitor our backends. That means signaling servers and video bridges. And Coldstats.io helps us monitor video bridge state, but more on the media side. To give you an example, Amazon Web Services would track current CPU usage, current bandwidth. There's some overlap with Coldstats.io, but the additional infrastructure data that we get there is average jitter, average RTTs around the coast, around specific bridges, which allows us to see if there's anything out of order with certain servers. We are also currently in the process of implementing per call statistics, which means that every bridge is going to report individual data for every call, not just overall statistics. And then obviously we're also using Coldstats.io on the browser side to get statistics out of it there. Out of the client's performance. Now, this is really pretty important because with the combination of these two, we're basically very acutely aware of everything that's going on. We can go and debug calls later. Without Coldstats.io, we'd basically be flying blind. We can go back to calls and basically monitor what the audio input volume was and check out why certain people weren't hearing stuff. Was it because their microphone wasn't working? Was it because someone else's headset wasn't working? Was it network problems? We get automatic diagnostics saying, this person here had bandwidth problems, or this person there had very high churn, which really speeds up debug sessions and lowers the maintenance effort around supporting users. Now, finally, everything I've covered so far is about the Jitsi basic components. We've recently also released, and this is actually the first time that I'm announcing it in public, we've recently released our new way of doing recording. We used to have a Jiricomb project that was basically dumping video into WebM files and then a post-processing utility that created non-real-time recordings. We've recently released Jibri, which now allows you to record things live, real time, and to also stream them to services like YouTube. Jibri is currently fine-tuned for YouTube, but you could very easily, it's on GitHub, it's part of the Jitsi community, so you can very easily just change the URL and make it work for Stitch or Ustream or whatever you want to be using. Now, the reason I'm mentioning Jibri is because it really fits very nicely into this entire infrastructure that I've been describing so far. Basically, we have a pool of Jibris that we run separately from all of our auto-scaling video bridge groups and signaling groups. This is really just an entirely independent pool of virtual machines. The way Jibri works, by the way, is really very simple. It basically just joins the conference as a participant, receives all the streams, renders them, captures the rendering, and then uses FFmpeg to send it out to YouTube or to create a recording file, actually. Again, changing a live streaming to a recording is a matter of changing a single line in the Jibri project. I do encourage you to check it out, not only as a service, which you can do on meet.jit.si, but also as an open source project, because it's really very easy to adapt it to your needs. So we have this pool that connects to any shard on Amazon. We're using Amazon Stacks to basically discover all of our existing shards, all of our existing environments. The Jibri client supports connecting to any number of servers, of XMPP servers. It doesn't have to be only one, so you can basically run it to as many environments as you wish. And every time someone requests a recording, one of the Jibri pool instances goes and joins the conference. New ones are being created so that we would have spare instances for new incoming users. And then your conference is basically streamed to YouTube, live streaming with unlimited participation options, basically. And I think that covers most of the stuff that I wanted to talk about. I'd like to leave some time for questions if there are any. And I didn't want to abuse you guys because I know it's getting late there. So you must be tired at the end of two intense days. So that's it. Are there any questions?
Okay. I have in the meantime one question about you earlier used InfluxDB to collect data. And I don't know how you are still using this interface or it is faded away, or what is the
So the InfluxDB logging is something that we simply haven't had time to maintain. It is still a part of the code. You can still configure InfluxDB and get some amount of logging into InfluxDB. It's just that it's not. We haven't had time to extend it. We haven't had time to work on a proper interface. So for the time being, we simply don't have the resources for that.
Other questions or remotely? Any question?
Okay.
No? Then many thanks.
Well, thank you guys for your attention. It was, again, it was great to see you, and have a wonderful time in lovely Berlin. Bye.
Thanks very much.